Welcome to the TransUnion Earnings Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host from TransUnion, Evan Goad. Please proceed.
Good morning and welcome to TransUnion's First Quarter 2013 Financial Results Conference Call. I'm Evan Goad, Director of Investor Relations. With me this morning is Jim Peck, our President and Chief Executive Officer, and Al Nemood, our Chief Financial Officer. Shortly after this call, an audio recording of this event will be made available on our website. We will not be taking questions on this call, which conforms to our typical practice. This is a combined announcement for TransUnion Holding Company and TransUnion Corp., a direct 100% owned subsidiary of TransUnion Holding. TransUnion Corp. is the only subsidiary of TransUnion Holding, and as such, TransUnion Holding and TransUnion Corp. operate as one business with one management team. Management believes combining the earnings release of TransUnion Holding and TransUnion Corp. provides the following benefits: enhances investors' understanding of TransUnion Holding and TransUnion Corp. by enabling investors to view the business as a whole in the same manner as management views and operates the business, provides a more readable presentation of required disclosures with less duplication, since a substantial portion of the disclosures apply to both TransUnion Holding and TransUnion Corp., and creates time and cost efficiencies through the preparation of one combined report instead of two separate reports. During this call, we will make certain forward-looking statements, which by their nature involve a number of risks, uncertainties, and other factors that could cause actual results to differ materially from our expectations as described in TransUnion Holding and TransUnion Corp.'s combined annual report on Form 10-K for the year ended December 31st, 2012, and our combined quarterly report on Form 10-Q for the period ended March 31st, 2013. The forward-looking statements in the earnings release that we issued earlier this morning or comments made on this call are made as of today, May 7th, and we have no obligation to publicly update any of these forward-looking statements. Our earnings release contains reconciliations of the non-GAAP financial measures adjusted EBITDA and adjusted operating income to their most directly comparable GAAP measures. You can find a copy of our earnings release under the Investor Relations section on our website. The earnings release is also available as an exhibit to our current report on Form 8-K furnished today to the SEC. Now that the formalities are out of the way, I will hand it off to Jim.
Thank you, Evan. Good morning, and thank you all for joining us today. It's hard to believe that I've now been with TransUnion for 4 months. It's been a busy and productive 4 months. I've spent the majority of my time meeting with employees, business leaders, customers, strategic partners, and other industry participants, learning the business, and then continuing to build the organic growth story for TransUnion. Without getting too deep into the details, I would like to give you a taste of our growth strategy. Our mission is to help organizations optimize their risk-based decisions and enable consumers to understand and manage their personal information. In doing so, we will focus on 5 key initiatives. Defend and grow the core U.S. financial services and insurance businesses by delivering the highest quality credit-based and new value-added solutions. Continue to build our U.S. healthcare business and invest in new, attractive adjacencies that leverage our core capabilities. Accelerate growth in interactive through efficient marketing and geographic expansion. Expand the international footprint in high growth and meaningful geographies. And finally, establishing an operating model and culture and invest in core capabilities needed to support our growth objectives. By focusing on these 5 pillars, we will reach our objective to become a superior global risk information solutions provider that delivers sustained market-leading organic growth and attractive margins. As we progress through the year, I will keep you updated on our quarterly calls as we continue to review and refine our organic growth strategy. Now moving on to the quarter, I will provide an update on the macro factors that impact our industry and then some highlights from our core businesses. Our key macro indicators are stable. The U.S. economy continues to grow and unemployment has continued its steady decline. Consumer sentiment is up for the 3rd consecutive quarter and is also higher versus last year. Willingness to lend, however, is down slightly versus last quarter and last year. We continue to see positive movement on consumer spending, both versus last quarter and versus last year. Housing starts are up 47%. Home prices have risen over 8% from a year ago. Consumer credit outstanding is 6% higher than March of 2012, and auto sales are up over 3% versus last year. All of this translated into another quarter of solid performance for our core businesses within the USIS segment, specialty financial services, and retailer markets. In addition to the strength in our core USIS business, we also experienced solid performance in other USIS markets where we are investing for growth. For example, our healthcare business continues to perform well as we work to become the leading information solutions provider that most comprehensively understands the healthcare consumer's behavior so as to help our clients better manage the financial risk of patients through our data, decisioning, and analytical tools. Within our international business, we continue to make investments that will drive long-term growth. As we look over the medium to long-term, we see solid prospects across our core regions. We see opportunity for growth in new economies, such as Brazil, where economic growth and expanding middle class continue to drive increased reliance on consumer credit. During the first quarter, we closed the acquisition of ZipCode, an independent provider of data analytics in Brazil. ZipCode solutions include customer acquisition, relationship management, debt collection, and fraud prevention. ZipCode will complement our Crevo business and will allow us to better serve the Brazilian market through new credit tools, data, and decisioning capabilities. These acquisitions will further strengthen our position in Latin America and provide us with a differentiated set of assets in the Brazilian marketplace. While we invest in these medium to long-term growth initiatives, our core businesses continue to deliver on a constant currency basis. In the quarter, constant currency growth in Hong Kong, Africa, Latin America, and Asia Pacific was offset by the impact of weakening foreign currencies and softness in Canada. Finally, our interactive business continues to post strong revenue growth, driven by an increase in the average number of subscribers and volumes in the indirect channel and a higher average revenue per subscriber in the direct channel. Interactive continues to be a solid growth story for TU due to what we believe is the best product offering, team, and strategy in the industry. In closing, I will continue to update you as we review and refine our organic growth strategy. I firmly believe that our businesses are well positioned to achieve our long-term goal to become a superior global risk information solutions provider that delivers sustained market-leading organic growth and attractive margins. Now I will turn the call over to Al to discuss the first quarter results in more detail.
Thank you, Jim, and good morning, everyone. I'm going to discuss our first quarter results and cover some additional financial information and balance sheet metrics. Consolidated revenue in the first quarter of 2013 is $290.5 million. This was an increase of 3.5% compared to the first quarter of 2012. Weakening foreign currency accounted for a reduction in revenue of 1.3%. Acquisitions, which include ZipCode in Brazil and CRB in Africa, accounted for an increase in revenue of 0.6% in the quarter. Operating income was $44.2 million in the quarter compared to operating income of $65.6 million the prior, primarily due to a $23.4 million increase in depreciation and amortization, primarily resulting from the purchase accounting adjustments to record tangible and intangible asset at fair value due to the acquisition of TransUnion Corp. by TransUnion Holding on April 30, 2012, which we refer to as the 2012 change of control transaction. Adjusted EBITDA for the first quarter 2013 was $93.3 million, an increase of 3.3% compared to the prior year, while we continue to invest in new initiatives to drive this growth. Non-operating expense was $50.1 million in the first quarter of 2013 compared to $41.7 million in the first quarter prior year, due to an increase in interest expense related primarily to the issuance of $600 million and $400 million principal amount of senior unsecured PIK toggle notes in the first and fourth quarters of 2012, respectively. Higher interest expense and the purchase accounting depreciation and amortization contributed to the net loss attributable to the company of $6.3 million compared to net income of $1.7 million in the first quarter of 2012. Now on to the segments. Revenue for USIS segment was $183.7 million, an increase of 1.7% compared to the first quarter of 2012, driven largely by an increase in online credit report unit volume. From an operating platform standpoint, we saw increases in online data services and decision services due to improved market conditions and growth in financial services, retailers, and healthcare. Credit marketing services declined 11.7% due to a large one-time job in the first quarter of 2012 and the related tough comparables. Operating income for the USIS segment of $43.1 million compared to $55.6 million in the first quarter of 12, was impacted by $14.4 million of additional depreciation and amortization, primarily resulting from the 2012 change of control related transaction. Excluding depreciation and amortization, U.S. operating income increased 2.6% compared to the first quarter of 2012. Revenue for the international segment was $55.7 million, an increase of 1.6% compared to the first quarter of 12. Weakening foreign currency accounted for a reduction in revenue of 6.4%. The ZIP code and CRV acquisitions accounted for an increase in 2.8%. Developed market revenues was $22 million, an increase of 1.8%, as growth in Hong Kong was offset by slight weakness in Canada. A weakening Canadian dollar accounted for a reduction in revenue of 0.4%. Emerging markets revenue was $33.7 million, an increase of 1.5%, as constant currency growth in Africa, Latin America, and Asia Pacific was offset by the impact of weakening foreign currency. This was primarily the South African rand. Weakening foreign currency accounted for a reduction in revenue of 10.2%, while acquisitions accounted for an increase in revenue of 4.7%. Operating income of $2.4 million compared to $14.8 million in the quarter was negatively impacted by $7.5 million of additional DA. Excluding DA, international operating income declined 28.2% compared to the first quarter 12. The remaining decline is attributable to planned integration costs of our recent acquisitions in both Brazil as well as South Africa and continued investment in growth, organic growth and greenfield opportunities, as well as the negative impact of foreign currency. Now moving to the balance sheet and cash flow items. Cash and cash equivalents was $117.4 million at March 31, 2013, and $154 million at December 31, 2012. The decline is largely due to seasonal working capital uses and the close of the ZipCo acquisition during the quarter. First quarter cash provided by operating activities was $13.5 million. Other first cash activities included $16.4 million used for cash capital expenditures, $24.3 million used for other investing activity, principally in acquisition, $7.7 million used for financing activity, and $2 million used from the effect of exchange rate changes on cash. Senior secured net debt, which is senior secured debt less cash and short-term marketable securities as defined in our credit agreement at March 31, 2013, was $803.6 million. We currently and obviously have our full $210 million revolving credit facility available for operational and other needs. On March 1st, 2013, Amendment Number 4 to the company's senior secured credit facility became effective. The amendment, among other things, lowered the floor on the term loan from 1.5% to 1.25%, lowered the margin on the term loan from 4% to 3%, and extended the term loan maturity date 1 year to February 2019. Also delayed the first required excess cash payment until 2014 and relaxed certain covenant requirements. That concludes our prepared remarks for today. Thank you for your time, and I will now turn the call back to Evan.
Thanks, Al. We'll file our combined quarterly report on Form 10-Q with SEC later today, and we'll post the audio replay of this call on our website at transunion.com. If there are remaining questions after you've reviewed the 10-Q, please feel free to contact me at 312-985-2005 or via email at investor.relations@transunion.com. Thank you for your continued interest in TransUnion, and I will now turn it back to the operator to conclude the call.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference call for today. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect. The conference call for today.